Cryogenics is a common enough idea in science fiction, but is it merely that, a fiction, or just beyond the current cutting edge of science, a future reality? And is it ethically problematic? Ole Martin Moen is a research fellow in philosophy and medical ethics at the University of Oslo. He recently wrote The Case for Cryonics in the Journal of Medical Ethics.
It's important to keep in mind here that the alternatives to cryonics really are burial and cremation, and they certainly don't work. So it seems that cryonics at least has the possibility of giving a small chance for survival in cases where the alternative is no chance at all.
But if it doesn't work scientifically, isn't that deceiving people?
Well, we don't yet know if it works, and we can't know that yet. But we do know that the freezing procedure that's used in cryonics is called vitrification, and that's the same as the one that's used in freezing sperm and eggs and skin tissues, which is just a routine thing at hospitals around the world.
We're talking about freezing somebody after death, so you not only have to overcome the illness that they are suffering from that killed them, but also overcome death itself.
Well, not really, because, you know, how we think of death changes according to which technologies we have. Only 50 years ago, we didn't have CPR, so we thought if the heart had stopped, you know, then there was no way back. Now we know we can bring people back from that state. We know also that if people drown in very cold water, we can get them back in fully functioning after up to 1 hour. So death is not as binary as we might think. It's a procedure where more and more is destroyed, but as we have access to better and better technologies, we can be able to get people back in spite of there being some damage. Now, when someone is critically ill, you know, we can rush them to the hospital with an ambulance. And what we're doing then is that we're rushing them through space to a place with better technologies. And what we try to do with cryonics is that we rush people through time to someone or a place with better technologies.
Isn't the logic of this that people should be frozen before death, although I suppose the process itself would kill them?
Well, I think it would be good if we would be permitted to freeze people right before they die, because there's a lot of damage that can occur in just a few minutes after death. So if that were possible, that would be a very good thing. Of course, since cryonics is a very uncertain procedure, we don't know if it works. It would not be rational to just, you know, freeze oneself at the moment one gets ill. It's really, one can see, you know, cryonics could be the second worst thing that could happen to one, and the worst being death.
Aren't there huge ethical implications?
Well, I don't think there is. This is, you know, it's easy to connect cryonics with these very, you know, sci-fi, science fiction-like technologies. But what cryonics does is really only trying one more thing before one gives up. It's not something that guarantees, like, living forever, for example. That would require an enormous amount of technologies. And I don't think there should be anything, you know, deeply controversial about trying to save a life. And in the case that's going to reach the news in Britain now, this is a 14-year-old girl, and it should be uncontroversial that we should do whatever we can to save the life of 14-year-olds with cancer. If someone wants this, I think one would need really good reasons to override their wish for this. But surely, you know, if one is a deep pessimist about the future, maybe one would rather want to be dead than want to be cryopreserved. But then surely others might have good reasons to want to live longer.
Ole Martin Moen, the author of The Case for Cryonics.